Bloomberg Law with June Grosso and Michael Best. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grosso and Michael Best discuss the indictment of Sean Stewart, a former banker at Perella Weinberg Partners who was convicted yesterday of insider trading. They speak to Anthony Sabino, founding partner at the law firm Sabino & Sabino, and Jill Fish, professor at the University of Pennsylvania Law School.
Jill, let's start with what the prosecution proved in this case that many were concerned they might not be able to win at the beginning.
Yeah, well, the challenge for the prosecution in insider trading cases these days is the tip a breach of fiduciary duty? When an insider tips information, under current U.S. law, they have to breach a duty, a tip that's innocent, a tip that's accidental, doesn't result in liability for the tipper. So the prosecution had to prove a breach, and a fairly recent Second Circuit decision made that proof more difficult.
Anthony, did the jury decide then that the $10,000 that his father paid for the photographer at Sean's wedding, which was about the same he gave to Sean's brother for his wedding, was a quid pro quo?
I think it's difficult to say, June, whether that was the specific point that the jury made its decision upon. I would tend to think they took a more holistic approach and basically looked at the totality of the relationship. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were out literally 5 days and a night to decide this, because they had to wrestle with this. I'm sure it was a very tough call for them to say that the father paying for the photographer at the wedding, as well as a possible other benefits bestowed by Bob Stewart as the parent, was that independently done as any parent would do, or was, as you've characterized it, a quid pro quo? And I think in their own minds they had to decide whether there was something extraordinary about the father's generosity. And I think what probably turned the tide for them was the fact that, again, as a parent myself, we all try to do the best for our children, especially when they're becoming wet and so forth. But the timing of it, I think, was just a little bit too much for them to find it to be anything other than the quid pro quo.
Jill, it's pretty easy to understand a quid pro quo in most circumstances. I give you something, you give me something back, you know, you get a benefit from it. In the context of your family, though, it can be a little bit complicated. Does the prosecution really have to prove that there is sort of a payment from, say, a father to son, or is there some other benefit in a familial relationship that might be good enough to uphold a conviction?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't really think, and this is the area where the law is somewhat uncertain right now, but I don't really think that in a family relationship or even a relationship with a close friend, the prosecution has to show a quid pro quo or a tangible benefit. I think those cases are different. I've written family is different. The Newman case, the Second Circuit decision that we were referring to, involved tips among securities research analysts, portfolio managers, people who didn't have that kind of close family relationship. And in fact, the court in that case said the prosecution's failure to show a sufficiently close relationship was part of the problem.
That's Anthony Sabino, founding partner of Sabino & Sabino, and Jill Fish, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania Law School. Speaking to Bloomberg Law host June Grosso and Michael Best, you can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And now here's a look at some of the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law. A securities dealer that gave rise to one of the U.S. government's largest penny stock fraud investigations has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison. Sandy Winnick is a Canadian described as a, quote, penny stock fraud kingpin. He's accused of masterminding two schemes that fleeced investors of $140 million. First, he and associates allegedly peddled dubious stocks at pumped up values. Then the U.S. claims he victimized buyers again by selling them a promise to help recoup their losses in exchange for a fee.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119.